Good morning. Welcome everybody to the November 15, 2016 Sussex County Council meeting. Elections are finally over. That's all a good thing.
We're going to miss it.
Approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I have no suggested amendments before me today.
Any motion to approve the agenda?
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of October 25th and November 11th. Any questions, corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have two letters. The first is from Cozy Critters After School Program, and the second one is Sussex Community Crisis Housing Service. Both are thankful for council's help with their fundraising efforts.
Any correspondence from council?
I did.
Mrs. Deaver?
I got a very nice letter from Coastal Concerts, and it's a very popular concert organization. They have a lot of volunteers and whatnot that help out, and so they're very grateful for the grant that we gave them.
Good. Any more comments? Any correspondence from Cole?
Yeah, I also got one. I got one from the Rehoboth Beach Art League thanking the council for a donation of $1,000 to their efforts providing arts to the county.
Any more correspondence? Consent agenda. We have three items. Wastewater agreement number 984-9, Sussex County project number 81-04, Coastal Club, Land Bay 3, Phase A1, Gosley Creek Planning Area. Second one is Wastewater Agreement number 984-10, Sussex County Project number 81-04, Coastal Club, Land Bay 3, Phase A2, Gosley Creek Planning Area. And the third one is Wastewater Agreement number 1056, Sussex County Project number 81-04, Maryland Avenue Sewer Relocation, Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions on those? Hearing none, we'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Public comment, Mr. Guy. Thank you, sir. William Kinnick. William Kinnick.
Morning,
good
council.
Morning.
Mr. President and distinguished members of the council, I want to thank you again for letting me speak before you. My name is William Kinnick. I live in Seaford, Delaware. And on behalf of myself and the 40,000 manufactured home residents that live in Sussex County, I'm here to speak to you again, like I did on November 1st, about establishing a manufactured home partial within the communities and housing division that we have in Sussex County. It's important that we have this. And before I leave today, I will provide you with some pictures and documentation. But it's important that we have established this because we have no oversight in any county, and we have no oversight in the state. I figured we'd start at the small and work to the big. But it's important that we do have this. We have our oversight as the DOJ, and it should be in a housing environment, because when we bring code enforcement issues to the counties, they don't have any rules to follow, and we need to have that set in place. So I've talked about some of the examples from last time I was here. Nothing has really changed. We work with the code enforcement and gotten handicap ramps put where they need to be. We're working on some land use issues, and also we're working on our floodplain with DENREC, but we also need the code enforcement people in Sussex County. And again, I'd like to thank you for my time here, and I'll present the documentation as forth.
Thank you. You can, Mr. Lawson, land down there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Leonard Sears.
Good
morning, Chamber.
Good morning.
I'm Leonard Sears. I reside in Briarwood Manor. I've been a member of the MOA for some 20 years, even back with Ed Spirit. Was president of DMHOA all the way back to Sussex Manor. Just recently, in Western Sussex, we've had a whole host of problems in which code enforcement in the Attorney General's office, Jose Ortiz, I personally was in contact with several times. We have various issues that we need county help. We really do. I can't stress that enough. These times in manufactured housing, not only the owners, but the people on leased land are having a host of issues. And it seems like the Attorney General's office that does their side of the investigation, when they come to code enforcement, it's kind of hard when they don't have a comprehensive plan in place for manufactured housing for Sussex County. So the issues that I wish to talk about today, as I followed up with when I was here last time, is we desperately need a comprehensive plan. Western Sussex problems for the last, we had a storm here that was unbelievable. And the following parks, Bill Kinnick put some information forward that shows pictures off Denrick's website of what mobile gardens looked like. Well, it didn't show also what Scottsdale looked like, what Briarwood Manor, a third of Briarwood Manor was underwater. It did not take in other areas in manufactured housing. In the Del Mar area, that was roads were flooded out. People's cars in manufactured housing have water in them. Drainage problems were desperate in Western Sussex. So affordable housing, it's gotten to be a critical issue with the Attorney General's office, with DEMRA, the RTA, and I have attended several DEMRA meetings in the past that have tried to work with owners on issues involving rent, vacancies, conversion of a manufactured home community, in which I don't believe Sussex County yet has been faced with a conversion of a manufactured home community. That's yet to come for the board to be faced with. I hope we're ready for that. The following parks have serious septic problems: Briarwood Manor, Scottsdale, Laurel Village. The systems have become so old that Denrec's follow-up on them is real simple. Keep the sewage off the ground. If it comes on the ground, we're going to have to fine you. An $88 fine, $126 when you walk out of court, and your system's still working. You can go ahead and run it. You can run it for 15 years. My system has been running over from time to time, 12 years, and it's not made a repair yet to correct the problem. Code enforcement has worked with the Attorney General's office, but they seem like they're locked up. That the county and the state need to come together as one to help resolve this situation for not only people in manufactured housing, but for what it's creating in manufactured housing. It's creating the following: abandonments, evictions, crime. When these communities start to go downhill and we have board meetings that this is brought to our attention at DMHOA, it gets kind of critical. Critical for the people who live in the community, which crime now takes place. What do we do to correct it? With no comprehensive plan, the county and the state plan locked up again. So we need help. We need help in these communities. As a last resort, we put our young men and women who either are EMSs or police at jeopardy when they go into some of these communities. I myself have been in some of these communities and saw drug deals go down, in which I don't even want no part of. Know what I mean? It gets kind of bad. The lack, it's not a county problem, it's not a state problem, it's an ownership problem in part, because what we're lacking here is the cooperation of all parties. The owners, management. Management is a bad problem. It's an underlying problem that the Attorney General's office has had a barrier to break down, and the county has barriers too in that very situation. Code enforcement, some of them aren't easy to work with. These parks aren't. By the park owners being outside the state of Delaware does not make it real nice. And last, in closing, I would like to say, last time we stood here and talked, I made a desperate plea at affordable housing. Affordable housing in a manufactured home community has gotten desperate because just recently in the community I live, the owners are renting to make up cost effectiveness. They are. And in renting on lease land where I have a lease and they will not allow me to rent, is getting to be a big issue because some of these lots are being left abandoned for a long period of time, 4 and 5 years, and then you got a new home put on it by the owner that hasn't done nothing for the septic system that Denrec has had the lot shut down for. Under the red dot system that Denrec had, which also DEMRA had a red dot system, that red dot system was put on a park that was not in compliance, that DEMRA would not even move a manufactured home under a conversion to that park under a red dot system. So you had to be in good standing. So the point here, I think, to settle this up, is that affordable housing of a 900, anywhere from 830 to 950 rent in a manufactured home community is what they're renting these places for. I don't know too many senior citizens that can begin to pay those kind of rents today with Social Security and what they're paying and living on a fixed income. Gentlemen, we need your help in manufactured housing in a desperate way, in a real desperate way. We got a serious situation in manufactured housing that needs to be addressed. We need your help.
Can I just pose a challenge to the gentleman, just quickly? If you would come in with bringing some recommendations to all these problems, many of them, like you were saying, are at the state level. And I don't, in other words, like on the flooding and the rent and vacancies and stuff like that, just if you had some recommendations possibly.
Next time you guys hold a meeting, I'll bring some forth.
If you would, and just submit them, like say, you know, with each of these issues, Your group has looked at them and said, we think this would be the right.
We're willing to step up to the plate, and whatever you guys need as our help, we're willing to help. We are, as mm-hmm. our part. But we have to get everybody to that table. We can't just do this as people in DMHOA. We got to get owners to the table, too. Mm-hmm. We do, to get a full understanding. We can't leave nobody out of this picture. We have to get the state, the county, the owners, and people in manufactured housing all on the same plate. This has been long overdue, and it's something we need to accomplish. So next time I come,
just a thought. Might be helpful.
If you would, will you make sure you bring that in writing?
Okay, yeah. We'll do.
Right. Thank you.
I'm thinking, what is affordable housing?
Pardon?
What is affordable housing?
Where's the affordable housing? It's not.
What
affordable.
Is it?
It's not affordable anymore.
You said it's not affordable. Your housing is not affordable. Yeah, just a general comment you made. Affordable housing. Then, I mean,
anywhere from 830, Vice President Wilson, to 950. It prices people who are senior citizens out of this. So if you were looking at subsidized housing and manufactured housing, it's just no way that this is going to fit into the ballpark for people who are.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I got a question on the internet. Tomorrow night, you're going to have to League of Women Voters in here. I'd like to know why they are not on the internet, just like you guys. Now, this afternoon, you guys are going to go over to the other place. You're going to do a whole bunch of work, no internet, nobody can see it, nobody's recording it. So I want to know why not. Why is it so great? Oh, you can show up and you can listen to these women, these old biddies, and ain't got a brain enough to get out of wet weather to start with. And then you got a bunch of geezers. They still don't get it. But then we can't ask questions. Oh, yeah, you can write it on a piece of paper. But guess what? That ain't my style. My style, if I can't ask you a question and get an answer, then I got no use for it. And by the way, these guys want to raise Cain about this, all this trailer stuff. Man, I'll tell you what, I've been traveling all over this county. I never seen so much wide open country. There is. If you guys would get out of your house and start riding into the back countries, you would find out there is a lot of land out there. And it is viable and it is affordable. Because if you can pay $950 a month of rent, you can afford to buy a house. Thank you.
Paul Rieger.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. Basically, to follow up on the last couple things, especially with the comp plan meeting that you're having today. Last week in the newspaper, in the Cape Gazette or wherever you've seen it, was the article back again to the garage issue with the 4-car versus 5-car. And concerning with zoning and the definitions. Again, if you look at those two definitions for the garage private and then the 5 or more, why do they have capacity? Why do they have 900 square feet? And it's just like, if you have 4 cars and you want to put a lift in your garage wide enough so you can just put one under there, why should you have to build your garage bigger when you don't need the excess space? Why have capacity in there? Everything contradicts it. The judge probably looked at it and couldn't figure out which is which. No win game. The only thing that you had, the lawyers made money on that deal. If what the paper said, that one lawyer, one person's paid like $40,000, another person paid $25,000, all because you do not fix or look at the definitions. The definition is so wide open on it, nobody, I don't understand how it could have even gone to court if you look at the definitions. One person says this, one person says that. It's a no-win situation. It's a contradictory definition. It's like a lot of them that you have in the codes for special use. You have with the regular codes and the definitions. It's asinine to have that. Both parties thought they were one protecting, the other one thought they were right. Depends on who you read it. It should be a simple look at it. You want to build a garage, you build a garage. You want a pole barn, you build a pole barn. You want to put a storage container, you put a storage container. But I don't know if you have changed it since, but when you go for the permits, are we now putting exactly what the permit is for? Is it for, like with the fencing? We had this discussion, it's completely left up. Putting up a fence, are you listing on a fence permit barbed wire? Are you listing it as a stockade fence? Are you listing it, what kind of fence is it? What kind of structure are you building? What exactly are you doing listed on the permits? It shouldn't just be I'm putting up a 1,000 square foot of fence. Oh, I'm building approximately a 50 by 40 foot building or whatever it is for a structure. It should be spelled out with coming through with everything. And also too, is when you're at the comp plan, meeting today, can somebody come up with, to have somebody seriously look in the difference, what is the difference between a general residential and the AR? Just in coming through with the different definitions and everything and break out the permitted uses, accessory uses, and come up with exactly what fits, because there's so many disparities and with that. And can you have somebody look at the definitions seriously and go through, look at A and B through all of them and have a pro and con for what needs to be fixed. If you get rid of the definition, there was no reason for those people to spend that $65,000 or $70,000 to come up with an outcome which should have been foreseen. And realistically, and I've been saying this because of mine, not to harp it, but you can't differentiate that easy between a hobby and a business. It's just the definitions are ridiculous. If you can set that up in the comp plan, because you can't do the comp plan without the directions meaning anything. Thank you.
Mr. Lawson, Minister of Sport.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. Several items to get to today. This is the County Administrator's Report for November 15, 2016. Item number one, Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for September is attached, listing the number of violent crimes and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 192 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of September. Item two, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will meet November 21st at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County Administrative Office's West Complex, located at 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. Mary Ann Leager, Senior Branch Manager of M&T Bank, will speak on preventing senior financial fraud. A copy of the agenda for each meeting is attached. Item number three, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Forest Landing Phase 3C, Forest Landing Phase 3D, and Bay Forest Club Phase 4.3, the construction record, received substantial completion effective October 31st. Item number four, the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control will host a public hearing tonight on the City of Rehoboth's application to construct and operate improvements to the city's wastewater treatment facility, including a proposed ocean outfall. The hearing is scheduled for 6 p.m. at the Rehoboth Elementary School. County Engineer Hans Medlars, along with myself, are scheduled to participate in the hearing and present comments on behalf of Sussex County. And finally, please note the Council will not meet on Tuesday, November 22nd, during the week of Thanksgiving. County offices will be closed on Thursday, November 24th, and Friday, November 25th. They will reopen on Monday, November 28th, at 8:30 a.m. The next regularly scheduled Council meeting will be held on Tuesday, November 29th, at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President. The first item I have is the third quarter employee recognition awards. The winner is not able to be here until 11 because she's working sheriff sales and she would like to be here. Can we move that to later if that's okay?
Yes,
with you? And the rest of the group will be here at 11. Then I'll move on to my first quarter financial report for fiscal year 2017. I'll just throw it up here. Okay, these are the first quarter ending September 30th. This is a summary of the full spreadsheet that was in your packet. And you'll see that we are doing fairly well with the revenues. They are over our projections as we project 80 to 85% of our revenues, since it's based off of the economy. So overall, our revenues are up 18% over budget. This breaks out the building trend revenues. So you will see that revenues are up in most categories from 2016 to 2017. There's about $1 million increase, which is about 13% increase over the year before. Our general fund expenses, you will also see we're right within budget. We're $14,000 over the quarterly budget.
Bless you.
Are the two categories that are over budget at this time is grant and aid, because we distribute our grants as the budget passes. Most of them get distributed in July. And then the paramedic budget is over because a lot of their maintenance contracts and some of the equipment was purchased in the first quarter. So I like to see that we're right on target here with the expenses. Our capital projects budget, you will see that we've started some of our projects. The general government is the HVAC at the West Complex. The emergency preparedness is the mobile command unit. So we have started those in the first quarter. And you'll see that we're also bringing in the grant and aid to support that. We have projected to bring over $4 million of the realty transfer tax from the operating side. So you'll see right now this is zero. We have to collect $19 million on the operating side before we'll start putting the realty transfer tax in the capital budget. Is there any questions?
Questions of council? Thank you, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
Schlenk.